IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. We ended yesterday's episode with talking about Trae Young, right? He got 47 points and we said how he was awesome. He followed that up with another 46 points, but that performance got so little attention yesterday because Steph Curry scored 47. It was a return of Draymond Green, so that got some attention. Then the Lakers continued losing, so that got some attention. And then there was a battle of the MVPs, Embiid and Jokic. That got attention. And then Karl Anthony Towns, he dropped a season high, the league season high of 60 points in an incredible performance. He was 56 at the end of third quarter. So that was a great performance. We have tons of stuff to talk about. So let's get started.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one, or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to The Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's going to be lit.
We'll start off with the Warriors. Now they've won four in a row. And in the last four games, you saw Klay getting hot in one game. He scored 38 points. So Steph getting hot yesterday. He scored 47 points. Now Draymond Green has returned. And suddenly there seems to be a spring in the step. The game yesterday reminded me of the early season Warriors where they were dominating. They took a big lead. They let the Wizards come back at the end, but that was when Draymond was sitting out. And that showed how important Draymond Green is to this team. He just played 20 minutes. He ended up with a plus minus of 24, plus 24, which was the highest for both teams combined. And Steph Curry scored 47 points, his first 40-point game, or the highest he scored since November when Draymond was fit then as well. He seemed much more relaxed. He just didn't have to distribute the ball. He didn't need to take care of how the offense was running. He just needed to run around the court and do his thing, which he did pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why he scored 47.
Yeah.
I know it's just one game, and it's one game against the Wizards, but do you think you'll see this Warriors now with this trio, Klay, Steph, and Draymond, you'll see this Warriors, this version of Warriors rather, going into the playoffs, which is dominating the team, winning comfortably, putting up good numbers? Is this the Warriors that are set to be for till the end of the season now?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I was saying a couple of days ago also, that I wouldn't be worried about this sort of mid-season drop in form. It's the Warriors, they bounce back. They didn't have personnel, they had Klay coming back, they had to integrate him. People don't, I think we overlook the fact that Klay coming back doesn't just mean he needs to find fitness and he needs to find stamina and all of those things and a shooting rhythm. It also means there's a massive disruption in the force, if you will, where, you know, the whole rotation needs to be reimagined now. Who starts, how many minutes does Poole get, when does Wiggins come in, what combination of five are you trying to avoid on the court, which is your weakest five? And how does Klay affect that whole understanding? So I think it took a while for them, and then, you know, not very fortunately, Draymond Green goes out to compound matters. But I think there's something very resilient about these Warriors where they lost Klay and they still went at it with Steph. And then they lost Steph and they continued building with that young core. It was embarrassing to watch Eric Pascal and blah, blah, blah. But but they continue to find little green shoots here and there of things they can build on. Integrated Wiggins, all of that good stuff. Then last season, with the Wiggins integration and with Steph and all that, they went as far as the play-in game. And then, you know, oops, after that, it didn't quite work out. But you could see again the makings of, okay, this is something. Next season, this is going to be something. Even in this period where Draymond went out, they let Klay find his feet. They let Jordan Poole flourish. Or let's just say these guys took those opportunities also. Right? Yeah. I think that's the better way to put it. Jordan Poole kind of found his feet. Kuminga made a name for himself and could be a high energy, high impact player. Great to have off the bench in a playoff situation. And they did all that. And now that their core group is back, look how they explode. I mean, Steph and Klay put up 26 threes. Forget what they made. Then they made a good number. But they put up 26 threes. That in itself shows rhythm's back, confidence is back. You won't see these many shots going up for fun otherwise. It's still mind-numbing, the volume, though. I mean, 50% shooting on 14 attempts, Steph Curry. We've seen this now for 4 or 5 years straight, and still it's kind of hard to fathom. But they're back, and this is the, unless there's any change in personnel, this is the Warriors I'd expect to see in the playoffs.
Absolutely. In the last 2 weeks where they had that losing run, right? Steph Curry had kind of a bit of slump in form, I would say. Yeah. He was not really shooting as much. He was just distributing the ball. Klay Thompson was still finding his feet. He was taking way too many shots, bad shots even. Wigan has kind of slumped after the All-Star break, and he's averaging around 12, 13 points. It's a big fall from what he was before the break. But in that phase where they were losing, that team was held together by the youngsters. Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Moses Moody. All three of them have made a mark. Moody has found his way into the rotation now. He's kind of sidetracked. He's kicked out Juantas Cano Anderson from the rotation, and Moody's got into that place. And he's a brilliant defender, great three-point shooter. It's kind of crazy to see the development that these guys have. Poole has now 7 consecutive games of 20-plus points. Kuminga is high energy. He is unstoppable at times. And Moody is great. Plus, you have James Wiseman coming into this lineup in maybe a week's time. It's kind of scary what the Warriors will look like when everyone's fit. And not just this year, going into the future as well.
I'm not biting on that future thing. Far too many times in sports, this happens where a team looks good and we start talking dynasty. And then one season later, it all goes to shit because of 2 or 3 key changes and the whole pack of cards comes, house of cards comes crashing down. I am not taking that dynasty bit. We will see.
No, I'm not talking about dynasty. I'm just saying it's a great unit to have. Solid players.
No, it is. I like Kuminga. I think Kuminga is what they were hoping Obi Toppin would be in New York.
Yeah.
He is fast flourishing into that sort of a player. Moody has displaced JTA, should be displacing Damon Lee also, but Damon Lee has nepotism armor. He is not going anywhere. So that's not going to happen. But it's a fab team. Otto Porter Jr. is a luxury to have when you've got all these squad players. Yeah. And then you've got him to call upon. And Wiggins wouldn't feature, but sure, he's fell off the wagon a bit, but maybe that's the Clay impact. Sometimes you've seen players like Wiggins struggle. This happened with Kuzma also, where he was suddenly with Anthony Davis and the advent of this whole new structure and look to the Lakers. He was given a very specific role. Play off the ball, be a catch and shoot guy, rebound and defend. And that's it.
That's it.
Kyle Kuzma, you don't get anything else. You don't get touches beyond that. You don't get players called for you. You want more points, go get the rebound. It's that sort of a role. And he struggled. He really struggled to adapt to that. Maybe makings of some of that, because a lot of the touches that he was getting now would probably go to Clay. And why shouldn't they? When you see Wiggins in a mid-range or in the corner three versus Clay anywhere on the perimeter, you'd pick Clay most of those times. So I think Wiggins maybe has to find his role again a little bit, but I wouldn't say he's too far off of where he was. A little hot hand here and there on shooting, and he's back. He's back in the mix. This is a scary team. With I think the Wiseman integration would be interesting. Do they go for it? Do they think there's enough time? Because Kevon Looney's done a decent job in this sort of a Warrior setup. Yeah, I mean, he's done what most Warriors bigs have done in the past, which is the number 5 wasn't really a priority for the Warriors, right? Just be a strong guy on rebounding, some rim protection, that's it, and be there in the low post in case nothing else works, we'll toss it to you. He's done that well. Now, what do you gain by integrating Wiseman is the big question. Some size maybe, but do they think he's ready to be that elite rim protector in the playoffs? If yes, then sure, there is an upside to bringing him in, especially against the bigs of the West, and there are quite a few. But otherwise, do you think you can, as a combination of Looney and a hybrid Draymond at the 5, are you better served by sticking to this rotation and maybe just having Wiseman fill in the minutes? If he surprises you, hey, why not? I think that's the important question. Are they going to weaponize Wiseman straight away, or will they let it organically develop? There's an argument to be made for both sides.
Absolutely. Wiseman's played 2 G League games. He's looked pretty okay, despite missing 1 year of basketball now. He'll be back maybe in a week's time, maybe in 10 days' time. So we'll find out then how good he looks in this NBA setup, because G League is a different beast altogether, and NBA is a different beast altogether. It gets slower, it gets more tactical, better experienced players. So it's a whole different beast. Talking about the bigs, it was the battle of the bigs yesterday, the battle of the MVP contenders, yeah. if I can call it that, and Jokic versus Embiid. Although Embiid put on great numbers, it was Jokic who came out on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a much weaker team, I must say, because yes. you had Harden with you and you have Maxey with you, who's now the big three. And then you have Tobias Harris as your fourth option. You definitely have the stronger team. And then you go out and lose against the Denver Nuggets, especially when you were leading by 19 at one point in time.
Yeah, it was a fourth quarter botch. There's nothing else. It's just devastated in the fourth.
Yep, absolutely. Now, Jokic is brilliant, and I've always rooted for him as MVP for the season. He leads the Denver Nuggets in points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, all the five major categories, field goal percentage. And yesterday's contest kind of wrote it for me. Like, even against the contender of the MVP, the other contender who everyone's rooting for and saying is the better player and whatnot, you came out on top. Yeah. Does this kind of seal it for you that Jokic over Embiid at the moment?
For what? For MVP or for...
For MVP, for taking your team in the playoffs?
For the playoffs, no, absolutely not. For the MVP, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. But between Embiid and Jokic, I'd still say Jokic. But I don't know why we would have to overlook Giannis like that. I think he gets criminally...
Of course not. I'm saying Giannis is much above his MVP.
Correct. So between the two, I'd still... For MVP regular season, I think that's what Jokic's award. As well, it should be. I don't know why at this point Embiid would be worried about that, because he has bigger fish to fry. His team can go somewhere in the playoffs. I don't think Denver can go anywhere this playoffs. And even otherwise, even if they could, even if they had Jamal Murray, who am I... picking as my guy to take a team into the playoffs, it would still be Embiid, because as well as Jokic plays on defense, Embiid's an upper echelon guy compared to where Jokic stands today. So, and for that reason, because the game is played both ends of the court, it's the same argument that goes in favor of Giannis or an informed Anthony Davis. Guys who play both ends of the court, especially at the wing position and taller, that's a huge weightage. So in the playoffs, for me, it's still Embiid, but Jokic for the regular season. Sure, why not?
But why would you say that? Because Jokic has not lost in the first round of a playoffs ever. Last season, he lost to the eventual runner-up Phoenix Suns. And that was a depleted unit. He's taken this depleted unit in the West, again, who we always said are the much tougher opponents, to sixth place and probably even higher, because they're competing for finishing higher as well. His teammates are, at the moment, Will Barton, Jeff Green, Bones Island, Bryn Forbes, Monte Morris, and all of these guys. Jokic,
yeah, I mean, Embiid. He has Island, right? All Embiid has is Harden and Maxey.
So,
yeah,
there are very few people in the league
now
who you would plug into any team and you can say that this guy will take us into playoffs. How many people are there? You would have said that for LeBron years ago, but this year you see that he's not doing that automatic. Steph Curry didn't do that last season. Ja Morant did not do that last... he did that last season, but his team is still good. Luka Doncic, probably. Giannis, definitely. Jokic.
Yeah.
How many other people are there who would plug into any team? Let's take the example of Detroit Pistons. You put Jokic into Detroit Pistons, they go to the playoffs. How many other players are there like that in the league right now?
Yeah, again, you're making my point. Regular season, what about in the playoffs?
Well, Jokic has never lost in the first round of the playoffs. Embiid lost to Trae Young last season.
Yeah, look, so historical track record is one thing. Embiid's also been to the conference finals, as is Jokic.
With Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler?
No, wait, what? Where did Embiid go? Embiid lost to Kawhi Leonard. Where did he go to the...
Oh, sorry, my bad. Jimmy
what
Butler,
a remix.
Jimmy Butler.
He cried and everything, man. He cried
and Butler and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, so...
I mixed that up.
No. So, correct. So, he's been to the finals before. I don't look at track record so much as... I think what we're doing here is we're speculating, right? With Doncic, when we say, is this the first season, even the series? We're speculating. We're speculating based on what we see from him, who he's likely to face, and what he's going to get done in those matches. With Jokic, we're doing the same thing. And with Embiid, to some extent, we're doing the same thing. Although he's been there before, but it's a whole new makeup of a team right now.
He's a leader right now.
Sure, he would have to go in as P1 in the playoffs, even if there's James Harden. He is the main guy. The reason I say that is because I still haven't seen Jokic play both ends of the court the way he does in the playoffs and carry a team. I haven't seen that. I think Embiid is well capable of that. While I haven't seen that from him too much either, I must admit, in the playoffs. the two-way argument just gives me that little bit more of comfort. And I think it's a good question to be asked. Maybe it speaks to the general discomfort, including for people like me, with somebody like a Jokic, who there's no benchmark before. Like when I look at NBA, maybe it's a perception thing, right? Maybe Jokic is the right answer. But when I look at NBA, you're thinking who? You're thinking some portion Shaq, some parts Hakeem from say the Rockets or something like that. There are benchmarks. There's shades of Tim Duncan here and there with the shooting and blah, blah, blah. Maybe KG with the mid-range. I don't know.
Yeah. Essentially, there have been dominant big guys before.
And who have gone all the way. So you're like, all right, there is a blueprint. So I'd rather bank on this guy. It goes back to the I'd bank on what I know versus the unknown and the speculation, right? Yeah. For Jokic, I haven't quite seen this role work out. Effectively, what he is doing is he's sort of like a Kobe in his time or an Iverson is in his time or a Jason Kidd in the Nets in the 2000s, except he's doing it in a completely different position, at a completely different size, with a different skill set. Yep. This is hitherto unseen. And so it's all the more difficult to speculate on what seems to be a shaky foundation, because it's the first time we're seeing it. We don't know where this can go. It's like banking on Bitcoin versus like a blue chip dinosaur stock or some such.
Hey, everybody, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Advertising is Dead, Varun is joined by Pooja Chhabria and Pooja Tengra to talk about LinkedIn's Creator Accelerator Program, a new initiative designed to support creators on LinkedIn through coaching, recognition, and resources. We have a brand new show on the network this week, Mind the Gender Gap. In the first episode, we talk about what keeps Indian women from joining the workforce. On Cyrus Says, Cyrus is joined by Rael Padamsi and Vandana Saxena Poria to discuss a book by Alik Padamsi called Let Me Hijack Your Mind. They talk about what the book is and how Vandana got involved with the finishing of the book. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton is joined by Lavleen Sirohi, co-founder at India Hemp Organics. They discuss what hemp is and how it's beneficial to our body and much more. On Tere Mere Raste, Keshav takes us on a beautiful journey to the mountains from Leh to Manali. On All Things Policy, the hosts talk about the rising tension between Russia and Ukraine and how technology is becoming a frontier of the conflict. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you enjoyed this show or any of our shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. Word of mouth really does help us. And also, please, a rating if you could. That is also extremely helpful to us. And remember, we're also on YouTube. You can check out ivmpodcast.com/YouTube. to get a list of the different channels that we operate on YouTube. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, SBI Life Insurance, Bank of Baroda, India Water Portal, and Max Life Insurance. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Fair enough. Now with the Nuggets, they've shown that they can compete with this depleted unit. And you add Jamal Murray into this depleted unit, who should be fit in a couple of weeks. MPJ started working out of this G League unit, so he should come back in a couple of weeks as well. Now, suddenly you have the team that was supposed to be there last season. I know that they won't be 100% fit and integrated, but Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, MPJ, Jokic, and probably Will Barton or Monte Morris, one of them.
Doesn't matter. That guy, the fifth guy doesn't matter.
Along with the bench, which is pretty good. You have decent three-point shooters in Bones Island, which we saw yesterday, and Bryn Forbes, who's shown last season in the playoffs for the Bucks. Mm. You have DeMarcus Cousins, who brings in the experience, and he can fill in for Jokic those few minutes. You don't need him to play long. You need him to play 10, 12 minutes, and he can do that role pretty well. That looks like a good team, suddenly. Jermichael Green is great on defense.
Yeah, that's a great team.
Green brings in the experience. And so how high would you rate this Nuggets? I know they're not beating the Warriors at this moment.
That's the problem. They play the Warriors in the first.
Well, the Warriors could as well go to the second seed, and they could play the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round.
That'd be a better matchup. I think they can, with all these guys, some level of fitness, and with the newly found Mr. Playoffs, Jokic, with all his skill set and the two-way defense. I think it'll be an interesting series. I'd still favor the Grizzlies, but not by very much. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Denver scraped through on that one. Warriors, they're not beating, for sure. Yeah. With all these players back, they're not beating Warriors. Not this season. Give them a full season. It's actually very interesting where this team could go, because they're all so young with so much upside. Especially MPJ, where shooting could get to a certain level. Defense, usually you don't see like a sea change. People don't become astronomically better on defense. It's either there or it's not. But at least he can stop being a liability on defense. You can improve him to that level. Like Steph had to go through that evolution.
Right.
And then Jamal Murray, again, the upside is so possibly high. And we don't know where the ceiling is right now. It could be nothing. It could be all of it. So yeah. Give them a full season and it'll be very interesting. But straight off the bat, if the Warriors finish third, it just don't see it happening. But if the Grizzlies slip, and now it's the Nuggets against the Grizzlies, I think it'll be very, very interesting. Because it's first time, or well, second time playoffs, not exactly first time for the Grizzlies, but it's not like they really have any experience as to what constitutes a win, a series win.
Absolutely. The Suns and the Warriors are definitely favorites against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
What about if they had to play the Mavs sometime, if they had to play the Jazz sometime, would you still pick the Nuggets?
Are you talking about the Nuggets? No, not against the Jazz. I don't think so. The Jazz, they're such an intriguing team, right? I would... It's one of those teams where they have everything, where every time you look at them, you wonder why are they there in the league table, wherever they are. Why are they there? Why are they not number one? And when they're number one, you're wondering why in the world are they not getting it done in the playoffs? Like, what is wrong? What is it that this team's missing exactly? Because they have explosive shooting. They have great scorers. They have people who can shoot off the dribble, left, right, center, up top, low post, everything. They've got one of the best defenders in the league. They've got one of the best upcoming young guards in the league. Or should I say upcoming anymore? I think he's fairly well established now, Donovan Mitchell. And they've got sixth man. They've got shooting off the bench. They've got hustlers on court. Even with all of the injuries, they still are formidable no matter who goes out, who comes in. With all of this, why do we still have to worry about the Jazz? Except we do. Because somehow they find a way to fuck it up.
I think one reason that we kind of overlook all the time is this intangible concept of a leader in this team, right? Who's the leader in this team? It's Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. Do you trust them to be the leaders of a big unit who can lead you to championships? I don't, actually. You plug in a leader into this unit, I think this team will look totally different.
Who would you plug in? Pat Bev? Who's your leader?
Maybe.
Oh, Marcus Smart, right? He fits into their three-shooting motif.
Exactly. Someone like Marcus Smart would be amazing. Yeah.
I think I was quite surprised when they didn't make a play for Rondo. If nothing else, just for that locker room presence, to have Rondo there. Like, Atlanta saw value in that, as did a couple of other teams. I thought maybe they would have gone for that. But yeah, I think about time Donovan Mitchell stepped up. From whatever we've seen of him in interviews and off the court, he seems like too nice a guy. Maybe that counts against you sometimes.
Right.
Like it did against Steve Nash for a while before he decided to toughen up, but it was too late. But maybe there is something to it. Maybe it is the leadership quotient. But until then, it'll be great if Gobert can stop touching mics after he sneezes.
Absolutely. Well, that's all on today's episode. Not a lot of games today. It's just the Brooklyn taking on Orlando Magic and Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns play the Pelicans, which I think is kind of interesting given the Pelicans' form nowadays. But not a lot of games. I think this next couple of weeks will be overshadowed by the March Madness and the NCAA tournament. But it's the lead up to the playoffs, so that'll be fun with a lot of teams hustling for the sixth spot, for the 10th spot. So we'll keep our eyes on that and come back and talk tomorrow. Well, see you.
Alright.
Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans' point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.